From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Shall we rise for the call to worship? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
How beautiful are the places where you dwell, O Lord. Even the heavens are bursting with the goodness of your presence.
Have your those who find your strength
in you. Hear our prayers this day, Holy God.
As we proclaim your grace to all the earth.
Shall we join in the prayer of the day? Oh God, we have no life apart from you. We do not come here to eat bread that fills us for the day. Rather, we come to be nourished by you, and that the love you have for us fills us for a lifetime. May this food strengthen our discipleship. Grant that it will renew in us our commitment to proclaiming the gospel of peace through our ministries of peace, justice. In the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Our children's time is led by Joanne Cantrell.
It's children's time. Come on up, kid.
Good morning. Well, how was your first week of school? Horrible? Okay. And it wasn't even a full week. Was it okay? All right. Did you have to make any choices this week?
One choice.
What was that?
Lunch.
Okay. We had to pick out what was ready for lunch. Okay. What other choices did you make this week? Good choices and bad choices, yeah. Did you have to make a choice to get up in the morning? Yeah. Did you have to make a choice whether you argued with mom or dad about getting ready for school? Yeah. Did you have to make a choice about riding the bus or mom or dad taking you? Yeah. Did you have to make a choice about being good in class or not? Yeah. Bet your teacher had a little bit in that choice, didn't she? Or he? Well, you know, we have to make choices every day. We couldn't get through life without making a choice. So, as Cody said, do we make good choices or do we make bad choices? We make both. Yeah, we do make a few of both, don't we? Sometimes our bad choices get us into trouble, don't they? Do you know that Jesus in today's scriptures was going around teaching? And he had a whole bunch of extra disciples. Yeah, they were following him, more than his 12. And they got to this one part, and they were teaching, and things got a little bit rocky there. Got just a little tough. And do you know that a lot of them people left him? They didn't stay with him. They made the choice to leave. But his 12 stayed with him. But he looked at him, and he said, okay, you need to make a choice right here, right now. Do you want to leave me, pack up your stuff and go? Or do you want to stay with me and help me and teach me and partake of the bread of life, which meant him bringing us eternal life? And all 12 of them had to make that decision. And Simon Peter stood up and said, where you go, I will follow. How many of the rest of the 12 do you think said that? Everybody else did. All 12 of them decided to follow him. Even the one he knew was going to say bad things about him at the time when he was on the cross. But he took all 12. He worked with all 12. Now, you're going to have a real choice to make here when you get to 8th grade. You're going to have a choice of going to confirmation and learning more about our church and about God and all of the things that go with that, or you're going to have a choice not to go. And then as we go through life, we have more choices to make. Do we follow Jesus and his teachings, or do we not? What's that? Do you get a job? Sometimes you get a job when there's a choice. Yes, there is. So let's bow our heads and let's ask God to help us with those choices. Dear Jesus, we come to you and pray that when it is time for us to make choices about our way in life and whether to follow you or not, that we make the best choice there is and we continue to follow you as the bread of life to feed us with eternal life. Amen.
Our special music this morning is by Jenny Medlin.
So many of you may have recalled this summer the power went out, and I was just moved by how our congregation continued to roll with it and the support we had. So in recognition of that, I'm going to attempt a cappella. It's going to have errors. but it's Amazing Grace, and it's going to be sung the first verse 4 times, the first in English, second in sign language, and the third in Spanish. And then for the fourth, I'd like for you all to join me in singing Amazing Grace, the first verse. So here we go. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Sublime gracia del Señor, que aún infeliz salvó. Fui ciego, mas hoy veo yo. Perdido irme a lo. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was
Testament lesson is read by Carla Clennon. It's followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, What Will Your Answer Be?, by our interim minister, Pastor Gene Mall.
Our first reading comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 through 2a and 14 through 18. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel of Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all of the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river. And in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the Father reserved in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Hamorites in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to be that forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserve in us all the ways that we went, and among all the peoples through him we passed. And the Lord drove out all of the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land, Therefore, we also serve the Lord, and he is our God. Here ends our first reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats of me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which our ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." And he said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And when many of the disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that the disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Choices are sometimes hard to make, and yet they have to be made. For example, some boys in the schoolyard are choosing sides for a ball team, and the captains are chosen, and they're in the process of selecting the teams. And one of the boys is on a spot that is really, he's in a quandary. He must choose between his best friend or between a much better ball player. And all the eyes are on him as he looks these boys in the face. If he picks his best friend, the team will suffer and perhaps even lose. If he picks the best player, his friendship is in jeopardy. What will he do? Well, that's a tough decision. See, life is full of tough choices and decisions. At school, they might ask the children or the youth as they go on to school, "Which electives do I take? Do I take a SNAP course and get a good grade? Or one of those that's a challenge and perhaps better prepare us for college or a job in the future?" Or we might say, "Do I choose between having church friends or other friends in life who do not go to church and may possibly lead us in questionable directions?" Or sometimes we say, "Do I take a job in another location away from home? Or do I seek to stay closer to home and my family and my friends?" As a pastor, the choice was sometimes, "Do I accept that new call somewhere else or do I stay put where I'm at?" And that sometimes was a tough choice. Or I might say, "Do I stay comfortably retired or do I take some kind of an interim call like this?" See? Yeah. Well, choices. In the first reading, Joshua also talked about a tough choice that the people needed to make. You know, getting all the tribes together, and there's a few verses that were not read there in between. They had been through a lot. The 40 years out there in the wilderness, they had entered the Holy Land and it was their home. And they had the famous conquest of Jericho with the walls tumbling down. And then it says in those verses, God has led them to victory over the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. We could add the Gazuntites, perhaps, yeah. See, they were told all that God had done for them and entered their lives and carried them along. But now the bottom line for Joshua and his people was Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors who served in this region here beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land in which you are now in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, it was decision time for the people. And they recalled all of God's goodness. And now they would all scatter and inhabit a new land. They would be homesteading in their tribal areas. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the people responded, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." These words spoken by Joshua have become a motto for many Christian families. They may be seen as pieces of artwork in our homes. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What will your answer be? "We will serve the Lord." So now these words are a great lead-in for our gospel for today. You know, Jesus and his disciples and the people there had been through a lot. Jesus had thrown a lot of things at them. It was almost overload for them. They went from the feeding of the 5,000 to being the bread of life, to believing in him, to offering his body and blood, to eat and to drink, and now the promise of eternal life. No wonder some of them responded, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" The disciples here, as we heard in the children's message, it was inclusive. There now were quite a number of followers of Jesus. Some were believing, some were listening, some were following. But Jesus noticed them now complaining and murmuring. And so he says, "Does this offend you, what I say?" That word "offend" could also be translated "scandalize." And he sees these believers and he sees these non-believers. And because of this, many who had been following Jesus turned back. Turned back on the bread of life. They had to make a decision like the boys at the ball game. The statement said in the text, "Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." What will your answer be? See, some said, "No thanks." Some might have said, "I'm not ready for this." Some may have said, "I need to think about it," or "I just need to get away for a while and digest this." And they may have lost connection with the bread of life. Jesus watched as they left. What may be scandalous about Jesus is he was just perhaps too common. He came to be one who came down from heaven. He was too much like an ordinary human being. He was just like the other children of Joseph and Mary. He was just another kid from the old hometown. He was too much like you and me. And this causes Jesus to look at Peter and his own disciples, the 12, and he says to them, "Do you also wish to leave? Do you also wish to pull up your nets and run? Have you also been so offended that you do not wish to have the truth? What will your answer be?" And of course, Peter, the spokesman, answers, and his answer was great. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." See, looking at the question again, Jesus was saying to them, "You also are free to leave. Follow others if you will." But Peter did not know where following Jesus would lead them in the future, but he says, "Okay, we're with you." That's a big reminder for us. You know, once we decide to follow Jesus, it's not automatic that we always will. You know, once a follower, always a follower. I hope it is. But we are free to come and free to leave. And he calls us and we respond to live in relationship with him or not. The Holy Spirit, though, continues to work in our hearts and our lives. And we may listen to that Spirit's calling or not. See, having had the privilege in my life of working with new and developing congregations in their formative years, It was so wonderful. Those first few years, we had no inactives. Almost everybody was there all the time. But after 5 or 8 or 10 years, we had inactives. It breaks. It breaks a pastor's heart. See, this church is really no different. We have inactives. I heard the consistory talking about them. And I'm not talking about the ill or the homebound who cannot come. I'm talking about those who just sort of drift away and lose contact, and maybe we just let them. Finally, the flame grows dim and goes out. And I hope and pray that none of you ever become one of them. When we are sick and ill, we go to the doctor. But when we drift away from the church, from the source that may feed our faith, we may not do anything about it. Perhaps we can look at a hobo that the little girl met as she was walking in the park, for an example here. She became fascinated by this strange man, and she asked, "How do you decide which way to go?" And with a twinkle in his eye and a grin on his face, he looked at her and said, "I always travel with the wind to my back." See, many were willing to travel with Jesus as long as he was popular, or that he was bringing bread, or he was saying things they could stand to hear. But when things began to sour, or he spoke hard words that were abrasive to their ears, they drew back and they parted company with him, because like the hobo, they always wanted the wind to their backs. What about the church today? And we who are a part of it. Do we stay the course only when there is smooth sailing? Or are we willing to ride out the rougher waters as well? When we hear words of Jesus that are challenging to us, or when we have differences of opinion when a decision needs to be made, the test of discipleship lies in our answer to that question of Jesus, "Will you also go away?" I hope that your answer may be similar to Peter and the disciples. "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." A pastor recalled sitting with a 90-year-old woman from his parish in the hospital. And they were joined by a few family members and the attending physician. And the physician there was to explain to Martha that she had an uncontrollable illness that would overtake her body, and she only had a few weeks to live. And after receiving this news, the physician and family stepped out, and the pastor and Martha, they were alone in the room. She had lived a full life, but she still had that spunkiness to her and that directness. And the pastor said, "Martha, is there anything you would like to talk about now?" And she looked him in the eye and said, "Talk. I do not want to talk. I want Holy Communion." See, in her words, she was saying, "You can have all the rest. Just give me Jesus." See, she knew the words of eternal life. And now she was ready to die for those words. See, looking back, undoubtedly it was painful for Jesus to say, "You can also leave. Do you wish to go?" Seeing the others leave probably put a lump in his throat and tears in his eyes. And the answer was right. "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." But the question remains, what will your answer be? Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall we rise and confess our faith? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With confidence in God's compassion and generosity, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, we pray for the church. Lead it always to proclaim its faith to you who gives us the words of eternal life. Give your church the gifts of truth and righteousness. O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for our fragile and beautiful planet. We remember the people being challenged by the abundance of rainfall resulting in flooding in various areas of our country, and especially these days in Hawaii. Alongside of this, we see the parched areas of our own state, and we ask for your refreshing rains to relieve the dry areas that exist right around us, and help us to care for your creation with wisdom. O Lord, hear our prayer. We also ask for your wisdom for our congregation during these weeks of decision concerning our pastoral ministry. Give to us a spirit of unity and bonds of peace. O Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the brokenhearted and those whose spirits are in want and need. Be with the sick and the ill and help them to find renewal in their lives. Care for those hospitalized this week, for Jim Damp and Bill Weiss and Leonard Elliott and any others that might have been there as well. O Lord, hear our prayer. We give thanks for those who have gone before us. Give us wisdom to follow their example of faithful living and to stay true to the path of peace. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your grace of Jesus, our Lord. We pray in his name, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go forth from here filled with the bread of life. Share that bread with those you meet so they may taste the bread that will never let them know hunger. May God's blessing be upon you. May Jesus' love attend to you. May the Holy Spirit sustain you until we meet again. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.